are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, July 28th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. It is a specially casual early start Friday for us. And it was a super late night last night because I was out partying watching C-SPAN. I actually fell asleep before the final vote. John McCain positions himself to pull the trigger and does. Repeal, replace, dead for the moment and maybe just the moment. But it has suffered a very serious blow, ladies and gentlemen. And when Sean Spicer becomes the normal one, you know you got a problem. The Mooch meltdown continues. Meanwhile, the Trump administration assault on LGBT rights also marches on. Sanctions now on Russia, Iran, and North Korea head to Donald Trump's desk. And Foxconn will Fox cost Wisconsin workers $230,000 per worker. And lastly, between the People's Platform and the Better Deal, the trajectory is looking left. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. So, starting early today, because I've got to race off to a table read. Hugo is back.
Wow.
On Bob's Burgers.
Feels like it's been an eternity.
It has been an eternity. And last night, obviously, Cliff and I will go through the machinations. But at around 5:30 yesterday, there was a press conference with John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Ron Johnson. And was there a fourth? I think there was only three. And they were complaining. Well, it's actually pretty funny how it broke down. About 3:30, I saw a tweet from David Dayen that I actually think I retweeted, where he had a thread where he said, it looks sort of like Mitch McConnell is dodging the question as to whether or not the skinny repeal is actually a vehicle just to get to conference, or is actually going to be passed by the House. In other words, the House has the option. Once the bill comes out of the Senate, the House has the option of just adopting that bill. The Senate could have adopted the House bill as it was, but usually the Senate and the House have different ideas. They pass bills. They go to this conference. They negotiate on what is a compromise between these two bills, and it goes back to their respective houses, and they vote on it again, the final product. The skinny bill could have been adopted by the House just to get it over with. Say that we got rid of the mandate. Got rid of the mandate on the employers. We got rid of the mandate on individuals. I mean, I think I mentioned this yesterday, right? I was talking about the fact that the House could theoretically just adopt it. And I think it became close. And at one point I said, there seemed to be some senators who weren't aware of it. And it turned out Ron Johnson was one of those guys who was approached. Did we get a, did we put a tear sheet or something from that or a video?
I saw a tweet. I'll look for it.
Yeah. And there was a tweet that went out that when a reporter apparently went to Ron Johnson and said, what happens if the skinny bill, which was, again, just to repeal the mandate, individual mandate, employer mandate, and medical device tax, which would have thrown about 15 million people off of their health care. We'd have 15 million less people with health care, and it would have spiked premiums by 20% minimum. Ron Johnson was like, what are you talking about? They can't do that, can they? And, of course, they can. And so he went into a panic. And he must have gone over and asked Mitch McConnell, like, what's the deal? And Mitch McConnell was like, oh, I don't know. And so then...
Do I know about it?
Ron, I gotta run to the...
look, there's a black guy over there.
Yeah, go.
Let's go.
And so these guys had the press conference at 5:30 yesterday. And they basically said, we want assurances from the House that we're going to go to conference, that they're not going to pick up the skinny repeal and pass it. Now, they can't give assurances. Like, the Constitution doesn't allow for it. The Congress can do, the House can do what it wants. There's no agreement that they have to make. They can say, we will. And Paul Ryan more or less said that. But it, what could have also happened is it goes to conference. They can't come up with a compromise. And then the House could pass skinny repeal. And Graham was like, this bill is all so horrible. I can't wait to vote for it.
I have to chop and dice it up.
This is going to be the worst bill I ever vote for.
Its cruelty is only exceeded by its incompetence. Yes?
Yes, I vote yes.
Vote yes.
I saw a tweet that said if they were really so concerned, they could have just put a poison pill in the bill.
Well, they could have passed anything. They could have put a poison pill in the bill. In other words, they could have been like double funding for Planned Parenthood, and the House would never do it. I mean, Dane was joking at one point, I think, on Twitter, saying like they should have just passed single payer, and then the House would have never passed it, and it would have had to go to conference, and they could have thrown out the single payer part. And I don't know if this was McConnell's plan all the while. We don't know. Maybe just in the last so in the end, John McCain decided to vote against the bill. And here is John McCain strolling out. Now, at one point last night, CNN, I was watching CNN, and they said, you know, all eyes on John McCain. And my immediate thought was, well, then John McCain has succeeded, because that is always John McCain's way. And look, I am glad he voted against this. I'm not going to stop criticizing the showboating that's involved in this. And I have a theory as to why he did vote. In fact, it's not just my theory. I think it's probably the case. But here's John McCain. He walks out into the Senate chambers, right? He was holding on the outside. In fact, reporters in the hallway beforehand said, how are you going to vote? He goes, stick around for the show, which is exactly what it is. So he walks out onto the Senate floor as they're calling roll. Now, is this with the music? Okay, this is just a straight one. Here we go. Here he is walking out. And he holds his hand up. Holds his hand up, and then he just takes his thumb and drops it. No. Now, at that point, people start clapping, and you can see Chuck Schumer in the corner of the picture. This is from, this, I guess, is from MSNBC. You can see him in the corner of the picture. This is the C-SPAN feed, though. Waving his arm, going, no, 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 don't gloat, don't gloat. And Mitch McConnell is just staring daggers into McCain. And that's why I don't like this one, because it isolates McCain, because you can't see McConnell. McConnell is just sitting there, arms folded, staring right at him. Cannot believe.
I hate you so much.
I can't tell you how much you have really ruined my day. We've got a couple other versions of that that we will play later in the program, because it's such a funny moment. So many parts of that moment are are really fantastic. But and so that's where we are now. That doesn't mean it's over, and we'll pick it up with Cliff in just a moment. But let me remind you that you spend a third of your life in your sheets. I mean, that is, unless your kids keep you awake like mine do. And I'll have to say, now Saul's old enough where he just comes in and all he does is he pees on our sheets. But the real question is, are they taking care of you in the way they should be? Introducing brooklinen.com. High quality sheets and bedding at a price that won't keep you up at night.
I have Brooklinen now. I can rest. Hello.
I'll tell you something.
Honestly. Now I can't sleep.
Wait till I get to this, because I've had a problem with my sheets for a while. Brooklinen was founded in April 2014. Okay, they get the beautiful home essentials without the luxury price. Apparently, it's the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Their sheets have over 12,000 five-star reviews. All right, they got a whole mess of patterns and colors. Beautiful stuff. All right, here's the deal. Nikki got some very expensive, I don't even ask how much they are, because that's not the way that we work things. Because it would literally keep me up. But I'll tell you why, they're like bamboo sheets. And it feels like I'm sleeping in one of those the sacks that they carry potatoes in,
burlap sack.
Yeah, it feels like I'm sleeping on burlap. For me, my favorite sheets are the plain cotton ones that are cool, right? Not ones that seem to absorb all your body heat. The thing I like about Brooklinen is that they give you the choice. You can get those classic sheets, and we got them. And they, very attractive, off-gray stripe. I love them. I love them. Try these sheets, and I know you're going to love them too. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code MAJORITY at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident you're going to love your new sheets that they offer a 60-day risk-free, or I guess a 60-night, really, technically, right? I mean, I don't know. We'll get that clarified. It could be 59 days and 60 nights, or how does that work? Satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. So you get 60 days to try them out. If you don't like them at, you know, day 59 or night 59, send them back. There is no reason not to give these sheets a try. And the only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code MAJORITY at brooklinen.com. That's Brook, BROOKLINEN.com, promo code MAJORITY. Brooklinen, I'm telling you, these are the best sheets. The best sheets ever. All right, folks, going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter.
Flat and down on the walls, I say that's new to 10.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, it is Casual Friday, and as tired as we all may be from staying up late watching that, watching a vote, this song should wake you up a bit.
Cliff Shackton, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Shackton, Libertas LLC.
Well, who better to welcome to the program on a day like this than the author of The Real McCain, Cliff Schechter. Hello, Cliff.
It's like you think ahead of time, Sam, in your booking. It's impressive.
I was like, who should we get 8 hours after that vote takes place?
That's right, man. Good stuff. Now, I don't know about you. I'm kind of tired. I stayed up for that whole ridiculous charade.
I bet you did.
You know? I mean, we're all sitting there watching it. I bet a lot of the young kids out there who are single, unlike us, where, you know, they take first dates out to watch that kind of thing. It's just, it's that exciting, as far as I know. No.
Let's before we get to this. Hold on for one second. Before we get to this.
Thanks for ignoring that.
So,
I appreciate that.
Before we get to that, I have to ask you this question because I've been getting asked, "What's going on with your podcast?"
And that is a hell of a question. we were actually just doing like a sound thing with the recording. I'm working with one of the Leslie Marshall's producers, but it got a little more complicated because I wanted to start it with somebody else who's another progressive people probably know pretty well. And I apologize to everybody, a combination of wanting to get it right, but also I'll be quite frank, I had a couple, you know, other things I was doing that I needed to wind down, and it's taken longer than I wanted to. So my apologies, but it is definitively coming. I'm tired of trying to predict, but I mean, we're at the final stage of making sure we're doing a test run actually this afternoon if it records well.
Oh, so, wow. All right,
and
great.
We're kind of there.
Sweet.
So,
all right,
yep.
Good.
Yeah, I know. I just feel terrible. And for everybody who supported me, I really appreciate it. And I promise you it will indeed happen, and it will continue until – you know, the oceans start to swarm the middle of this country.
Oh, okay.
Which would be in so about 7 years.
I was going to say, so not so long.
No,
don't worry about that. You know, we've been trying to get a survey for our members, and I've been trying that for, it's been like 6 years. It's taken me. We're almost there.
So you get what's going on.
Yeah. So, you know, things,
you know,
all right.
We all do a lot of stuff.
So
and things, and then we, you know, in your case, in my case, same. Sam, we made the mistake of having kids.
Right.
You know,
and, doesn't help.
Ooh, they'll keep you busy, man.
All right. Let's get to this. So is it dead? I mean, is it dead or no?
I can't predict it's dead because, you know, we've thought that like four times already. But Mitch McConnell did tearfully walk out. There's a way that most of us cry when we learn that something's happened to a relative or, you know, we didn't get that huge job that we got. Mitch McConnell found out, like, apparently the last minute by all the body language, which is a whole other thing we should talk about, what was going on, because it was insane.
Unbelievable.
But he walked out tearfully at 2 a.m. and admitted he couldn't kill the number of people he'd like to kill. I think he put it in slightly different words, by denying them basic health insurance that a high-income democracy would be expected to have. And said that now was on the Democrats because they refused to work with him, which is hilarious, except for many people who listen to him, who probably got it via Fox News and Breitbart, believe that crap and are too dumb to know any differently than that this was. But, you know, it doesn't change a lot of, I mean, look, let's start with the most important thing. People have health care still today that maybe wouldn't have. And I mean, it wouldn't have been today, but it would have been soon enough, because anybody who believed Paul Ryan, when he said, oh, we won't just pass this thing. I mean, it was the most ludicrous situation, right? So you've got the Senate saying, and a couple of senators saying, we'll pass this, but you can't, then we have to be assured the House wouldn't pass it. So I will vote for this if you assure me this piece of crap will not become law.
Yes.
It's pathetic. I mean, it's such a statement on what the Republican Party has become. I don't have enough expletives to describe this sad sack group of cowards who represent nothing anymore.
Have you ever, is that, I mean, I'm sure this has happened, but I feel like it might be somewhat unprecedented for the Senate to have passed a bill that they, you know, I could see how people would vote for a bill like, oh, this isn't exactly what I want, or I hope it gets improved, or if this was to pass, it wouldn't be as much as I wanted to go as far. But, I mean, has there ever been a time where, like, the Senate passed a bill that they specifically did not want to go into law? Like, it would be the worst-case scenario if it actually was...
Right. I completely am unaware of that ever having happened before. In other words, I'm aware of times, sure, there's certainly times where somebody says, you know, I'm voting for this because I agree with 80% of it, but there's some things I'd like to see fixed in conference. That happens all the time. And so, you know, when we used to have a Senate and House that operated in good faith, there was, you know, it was, okay, well, maybe we can hash out those differences. And being that this is a democracy, at least theoretically, and nobody gets 100% of what they want, maybe I can move up from 80% to 83% or 87% right, or whatever. And that's good enough because that helps enough people so that I've done what I can do overall. I mean, that's the regular sort of back and forth of the way our democracy is supposed to work, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. However, saying, you know, I've passed something that is so terrible that, I mean, essentially they got this thing got rid of, allowed states to get rid of the guarantee that people with pre-existing conditions would be covered. It defunded Planned Parenthood. It also got rid of the individual mandate and the employer mandate. I mean, if, you know, the health insurance companies, again, this is the problem with all these idiots who thought, you know, beyond progressives, all these idiots who think that when they vote for Republicans, they're voting for economic stability. These are not the Republicans of 20 years ago. These are a bunch of arsonists. There is no such thing as stability with them. And in fact, they do just the opposite. And it would have sent these markets spiraling because everybody can figure it out what's going to happen. You know, if there's a mandate there, if there's no mandate, there's a lot of younger people who are healthy or even some are a little older or healthy, well, not going to get insurance.
Right.
And that's going to drive up prices and that's going to lead the insurance companies to pull the hell out. I mean, this doesn't take rocket science. So, So, that was all at stake here. And just never forget that 49 of these jackals, including Dean Heller and Jeff Flake and Ted Cruz, who are all up for re-election, especially the first two, and could very much lose. And in Ted Cruz's case, again, they don't suppress enough people in the state of Texas. I think he's got a great challenger, and that could be an interesting one. But he really everywhere else, too. That, you know, all these guys, Cassidy, Moran, Capito, who's in West Virginia, which has the highest rate of pre-existing conditions. I mean, you know, all these places, they voted to kill their constituents because there's simply no other explanation for it. It would have gone to the House and one of two things would have happened. Either Paul Ryan would have lived up to his promise, 50-50 at best, and they wouldn't have just passed this into law. But what they would have done is then, you know, during a conference, so maybe they go back a little bit, right? So maybe it's not, you know, maybe they find a way that states are some sort of money has to go in if states, you know, pull out of guaranteeing pre-existing conditions or whatever. You know, whatever funds would have gone in wouldn't have been sufficient. And all sorts of, and there would have been chaos. And 49 Republicans voted to do that. And they expected it to pass. So you can't say, oh, it was a free vote. 49 Republicans voted for this crap expecting it to pass.
But see, I'll tell you something. You know, but here's the thing that strikes me, is that for the life of me, I cannot see how they could have gotten a bill out of conference that would have been that would have comported with the Byrd rule and therefore could have been passed under reconciliation. I mean, it seems to me he would have McConnell at the very least would have basically had to have overridden the parliamentarian, which is essentially, for all intents and purposes, getting rid of the filibuster, because things like funding a Planned Parenthood or things like even any type of the fake mandates that they had, right? Like if you lose your insurance or you get out of your insurance, you know, you can't buy it within 6 months. You need a 6 month waiting period of trying to buy your insurance as a way of forcing people to maintain insurance so they don't do the free rider thing. Like I get sick and then I buy insurance. But that was ruled to not be essentially kosher as far as the reconciliation. So I think there was also an awareness of like, we're spiraling into a dead end. We just need to do something that looks like we've done something. And that's what McConnell was. I just need a W. And I think he knew there was no other end game. I mean, they could have gone into reconciliation. Then still the House would have passed the skinny bill. And
right. But here's the thing is the House has, if it goes to the House, and I'm not claiming to be a parliamentarian, you know, and an expert on this, and so I may be missing some things. But, you know, as far as I can understand it, this thing goes to the House. They have all the leverage at that point, because if they have the votes, which it looked like they did, and maybe I'm wrong and they wouldn't have, but if they have the votes to pass it as is, then they can just be like, here's what we're dictating. Here's what you do, Senate, for this to work, or we're just going to pass it as is, right? I mean, all the leverage is with them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it went to conference, The bill that came out of conference would have looked more like the original House bill, but that bill would not work in the Senate under the reconciliation rules in the Senate.
Right. I guess they would have had to see how much more they could make it look like the House bill without crossing that line. And the thing is, you know, so a parliamentarian can say this or that, the other thing. I mean, they've broken so many other norms.
Right. Well, exactly.
I wouldn't rely on them to listen to a parliamentarian.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's a number of other things where they've abrogated their duty under the Constitution. I would think that what Mitch McConnell did with a Supreme Court justice would be enough for him to be removed from office under various. I mean, he didn't live up to his oath to the Constitution, but nobody's done anything about it.
Right.
And so if he didn't listen to a parliamentarian, do we really think? You know, I don't know. It's too dangerous territory for me.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree. Look, this is the best case scenario. And so, John McCain certainly was.
I enjoyed seeing Mitch McConnell's tears. I'll say that. But here's, and let me, so as you brought up my authoring the real McCain, and I really did think and predicted that McCain wouldn't vote, would end up voting for this and they would pass. So I fully admitted on Twitter and said, I'm wrong. I was wrong about this. I'll give the guy some credit. But while we give him some credit for doing the right thing at the end, let's remember and start from the beginning how very John McCain this whole episode was. He could have stopped it from the beginning. I mean, so basically he flies in, you know, hero John McCain that's what he had, the way it has to be, the standing ovation, the media attention, the maverick is back, you know, blah, blah, blah. He votes. You know, he's griped about this thing and said he doesn't want to pass it this way. It's terrible. He's used all sorts of, you know, adjectives to describe this thing. None of them have been good. And then he votes for the motion to proceed right before giving a big speech about how it should return to regular order. We shouldn't do things this way. But his vote, had it been different, would have done that. So he continued this charade while millions of people are sitting around wondering if they're going to have health care. He continued playing this ridiculous game. Then, you know, everybody's reading body language on the floor. He also voted against a Democratic amendment that would have done what he said. So he, you know, and voted for the bill later on that he said he was against 6 hours later. So he'd done everything wrong to this moment and as usual, gets all this media attention. And in the end, you know, people are left to, like, it was surreal, you know, if you were up last night watching this.
Yeah.
Like, wait, McCain is over there laughing with Murkowski and, you know, and Collins. Does that mean it's not happening? Pence is furiously, you know, over there trying to lobby him, you know, and then when it looks like Pence leaves, so it's not going to happen with McCain, a group of them go over to Murkowski when you're sitting there sort of laughing and like, well, maybe it was a bad idea for the president to attack her on Twitter and for to have the Department of the Interior threaten her illegally.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't the best reading.
Yeah, wait. We should just hold on for 1 second. I just want to make clear that the Department of Interior was basically saying if Murkowski doesn't vote for this, we're going to inhibit funds that Alaska gets.
So don't be surprised if now, in addition to the various investigations going on over Russia, the investigation of Tillerson because of Exxon, that we now have a separate investigation because it seems to be that whoever in the Trump administration among cabinet members is not being investigated, it's like not having a chair when the music stops.
Right.
You need to find your chair. And it seems Ryan, I think his first name is Zink, has found his chair. And the former congressman from Montana. and he, you know, Secretary of Interior, and he will now probably have to be investigated too, because it's a blatant, blatantly against the law to do what he did. So they do this with Murkowski. She ends up staying true to and not voting for this thing. And then here comes the hero, McCain. Everybody's reading his body language. The press are paying attention to him. And he does the right thing with this loud sort of bellow of no. And everybody's loving him and, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And today it's, you know, a big mainstream media orgasm over him, which was predictable.
Yep.
And lost in all of that is we didn't need to go through this charade. Lost in all that is Lisa Murkowski, who was threatened and insulted, and Susan Collins, you know, both did the right thing on the motion to proceed and all of these votes and stayed on the right side of the entire time through right. all the pressure. Maisie Hirono flew in with cancer. She didn't get some hero's welcome.
Yeah, let's be clear.
Look at what she's doing.
Here, you know what? In fact, we have – here's a section from Maisie Hirono. She gave a speech on the floor of the Senate. She is she has stage 4 kidney cancer. And she flew in for this vote. And I believe stage 4 kidney cancer is it's pretty bad. It's fatal. And
it's not, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm quite sure. And so here she is. Here's a portion of her speech. And so, you know, people need to see this vote in context. And there's one other element, but let's hear Maisie Hirono.
I am fighting kidney cancer, and I'm just so grateful that I had health insurance so that I could concentrate on the care that I needed rather than how the heck I was going to afford the care that was going to probably save my life. And guess what? When I was diagnosed with kidney cancer and facing my first surgery, I heard from so many of my colleagues, including so many of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, who wrote me wonderful notes sharing with me their own experience with major illness in their families or with their loved ones. You showed me your care. You showed me your compassion. Where is that tonight? So, I can't believe that a single senator in this body has not faced an illness or whose family member or loved one has not faced illness where they were so grateful that they had health care. I cannot believe that there is a single senator who has not experienced that in their family or their lives. So I know how important health care is. What I don't get is why every single senator does not know that. Why are we here tonight voting on a bill that has not had a single hearing? Why are we here tonight voting on a bill that would eliminate health care coverage that could save lives for 16 million people? Why are we here voting on a bill that would probably mean that people like me, millions in this country, who are now in the ranks of those with pre-existing care, with pre-existing conditions, will not get the health care we need? Why are we here tonight? Where is your compassion? Where's the care that you showed me when I was diagnosed with my illness?
I mean, it's a moving speech. People should look for that. And, you know, obviously got overlooked. But
she brings up a great point, you know. I mean, beyond the emotional impact of that, and that's what's so infuriating about so many conservatives, is they have to experience something. We've talked about this themselves to understand. And if it's not going on to them right at the time, they don't get it. You know what I mean? I mean, I give example after example of senators on the right who are terrible on most issues, but good on one issue or two issues.
Right.
Because it's affected their family.
Right.
And that's what's so infuriating, is they get it with her because they know her, but it's okay to let countless however many people die who you don't know.
That's freedom.
And I don't know how it's possible to change people who are willing to do that. I'm not sure what it is that moves people that are willing to just push a button, essentially, sit there and do it, push a button for their vote, and people die. And you know, and that's the thing. So, I mean, so she gave a big speech. You know, and yes, she was noticed for that speech because it was a wonderful and important speech. But she didn't fly into fanfare and, oh, the hero's coming back. She has, as you said, stage four cancer. She came and did her job. And then the last thing I'll say, because I give them a rough time and I think they deserve it sometimes, but every conservative Democrat did not waver. All of them were up for re-election, you know, from Manchin to Heitkamp to McCaskill. You know, and others that are going to be up in conservative states, not one of them, you know, or red states or purple states, not one of them at any point, at least that I heard, were they thinking about bailing on this.
You know,
so
this
you've got
is...
all of them. But let me just finish this one point, Sam. I just want to say this one thing. So you've got all of them. You've got Murkowski and Collins. You've got Mazie Hirono and all that. But McCain, for doing the wrong thing for most of the time, gets to swoop in the end, and he's a big hero.
Well, that
and
is...
That's John McCain's career.
That's his career, right? I mean, that's what people like he, Joe Lieberman would do this, guys like Conrad back in the day, and they always made themselves the fulcrum, right? And, you know, this is, you know, when they were talking about filibuster reform back in the day before they actually pulled the trigger... some people are saying, well, make it 55 instead of 60. But the point that people didn't understand when you make it an arbitrary number aside from, you know, sort of that just pure majority is that these guys will always take a position that will make sure they're the 55th vote or the 51st vote. I mean, that is what they do. They want to position themselves. And I want to get to this point about what you said about these conservative Democrats, because this is the one place, you know, this is where, frankly, you know, and people have, and I've made this point that there is nothing that happened on the Republican side that is a function of Trump. This disaster and this inability to pass a bill on the Republican side, it has nothing to do with Trump. It would be the same if it was Marco Rubio, it would be the same if it was Jeb Bush, it would be the same if it was Scott Walker, it doesn't matter. They are the same, but the difference is and I obviously have nothing. This is just an opinion here, but I think that the Russia stuff, when people ask, like, you know, what's the value of it, I think that stuff in tainting Trump on those terms, you know, on the national security terms, is why a guy like Manchin and why a gal like Heitkamp did not jump over there. That's the only that is the
his approval rating and the bill's approval rating makes them and part of the
and not
rating,
just his approval rating because
part of the bill's approval rating
because in West Virginia
because of Russia
his approval rating in Russia is still above 50%. And I imagine in Heitkamp's is probably in Dakota,
North Dakota,
it's got to be, I don't know, above 50%. I don't know what it's at exactly. But they can cling to this notion. They can cling to this notion of it being, they can cling to this notion of it being
well,
about national security.
Not they, legitimate. Yeah.
And that I think is what, where, you know, that is the story that you can't really, you're not going to see, you don't see it covered that much, and it can't really be written because how do you, you know, how do you prove a negative in that way?
Right. No, you're right. I think all these things contribute, but the biggest contributor of all and sort of damaging Trump's image. I mean, granted, a lot of it, he's brought, you know, his stuff he does, his tweeting, his whatever, but all that combined to make it to, you know, and especially for those running in more conservative states, for Democrats who, you know, they're not going to appeal to the Republican base, obviously, but need to win some sort of Republican-leaning voters. That is where, absolutely, the Russia stuff has damaged and dazed them enough that they can make an argument that this isn't somebody they felt comfortable trusting. They can find reasons around
absolutely
to justify
absolutely
why they did what they did.
And it's much, people have to contemplate this. Yeah. Joe Manchin... Yeah, I think if there's none of this Russia stuff, Joe Manchin is a Republican today. You know, I mean, like I think Mitch McConnell goes across and says, "We need another vote, and you come over here, man. You'll be a Republican. You will win in West Virginia, hands down. You'll have no problem. And guess what? You want to be on the Energy Committee? You're going to be, yeah. We're going to give you some senior membership of the Energy Committee. And boom,
my name's Mitch McConnell, and I raise dirty money in my sleep. So if somebody primaries you from the right, like happened to McCain and happened to Cochran and happened to whatever, we will destroy them.
One other thing that we should just mention. So here's a story from Defense News about a day ago. Senate Armed McCain tries to move NDAA, but Dems close the door. Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman John McCain, days after his brain cancer diagnosis, pled with Senate Democrats on Thursday to let him bring the 2018 defense policy bill to the floor. But Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer respectfully would not budge for his Republican colleague from Arizona unless the GOP abandons the fast-track reconciliation process for their Obamacare overhaul effort. The impasse leaves the NDAA, which authorizes $700 billion for the Pentagon, in limbo and possibly delayed until September. And then the same writer 6 hours ago in Defense News, as GOP's Obamacare repeal fails, optimism for NDAA. After a stunning late-night vote in which Senator John McCain, Murkowski, voted with Dems to shoot down the GOP's closely held skinny bill, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said he was ready to let the 2018 NDAA Act advance. So,
right. And that's the thing. Like, everybody needs to remember that stuff, too, which is, you know, this past election was John McCain's last election. Whatever happens, even if he survives, he's not going to be running for re-election. There's nothing he needs to do now but do whatever he thinks is best. And as we all know, he's obsessed with the defense stuff. He's a neocon through and through, and that will never change. And if that kind of a trade could get him this, while also getting him all the media attention, while also burnishing his legacy a little bit so he can write all these maverick-y kind of books or have Mark Salter write them, all the better, right? I mean, you know, that's how he gets to leave on his terms, and people then forget that, again, some of the stuff that I would bring up, which is he has sat around, you know, and there's others, but he had the biggest and most independent platform where he had the biggest opportunity of any of those Republicans, any of those sort of ones that had a problem with the direction their party was going in. He could have stood up to them better than anyone else. You know, the neocon magazines loved him, the Weekly Standard, all these press outlets would have stayed with him if he took on the hard right and stuck to it, you know, and stuck to where he was on immigration, on various other things. And instead, the entire way, he's always caved. He's always backed away from it with immigration and other things he believes in when he runs for re-election. You probably haven't heard him even mention campaign finance reform lately. He's just given up on that. That's not even an issue anymore for him. All the kind of good things he did. And I would say the most recently, again, he the process has gotten so terrible, whatever. He, like every other one of those Republican senators in there, was complicit in those filibusters, was complicit in refusing to work with Obama, McConnell's strategy that he hatched the night of the election or right after or whatever. You know, he's complicit in blocking Merrick Garland and voting for in the end Gorsuch, which if he cared so much about the institution that he claims to love and the process and that it not turn into this, it wouldn't have been about who was more conservative than who and whatever. It would have been, this was done illegitimately and I will not stand for this. And in a closely split Senate with a guy with an independent power base like he has, who could just snap his fingers and go on Sunday shows, he could have made a big difference, and he's chosen to do nothing but go along with it. So it's important that people not forget that.
Yep. And let's just also, just before we wrap this up, people should understand, here's the way it works. The reconciliation, the resolution that created the framework for this reconciliation bill supposedly runs out at the end of September. Theoretically, it just becomes moot when the 2018 reconciliation bill gets introduced or they start to work on. Now, this is stuff that gets too weedy, and I can't even find like definitive sources on this, frankly. But it is not inconceivable that they could come up with another plan. I don't know what it could be at this point, because they seem to have tried just about everything. And we should note, they've had 7 years. They've had 7 and 8 years to do this. And theoretically, right, every sort of, you know, their entire think tank apparatus has been coming up with bills. I mean, these things should be floating around. I mean, it's silly to talk about it, but it's actually true. Like, you know, there are 50
think
different
tank apparatus. You mean like their PR people? Right?
Well, yeah, exactly. What did Boehner say? He said Boehner said they're not. They're just going to. Well, but he thought the skinny bill was going to pass.
What did Boehner say now?
Well, Boehner had said a couple of days ago at some thing that what they're going to do is they'll get rid of the individual mandate. Maybe they'll get rid of the
employer mandate.
The employer mandate and the individual mandate. Maybe they'll get rid of some of the Obamacare taxes, but not all the big ones. And he was probably talking about the medical tax. I think Boehner somehow knew the plan 3 or 4 days ago. Or a week ago, whenever he was at this like conference in Vegas, and he was probably too off. You know, he's probably a little, you know, a couple of glasses of gin,
a couple shots of Merlot,
a couple of glasses of shot into gin, and gave bourbon or. There's nothing wrong with gin, but the point being,
there's nothing wrong with any of those things. It's just in the copious portions.
So maybe McConnell goes back to the drawing board, but let's look, Cliff. You mentioned Mitch McConnell's teary-eyed address to the Senate at 1:40 a.m. Here is just a slight portion, the part that where McConnell chokes up a little bit because of all the...
It makes me ill.
The work he did. Here he is.
Moved that way. And when the moment came... Most of us did. We kept our commitments. We worked hard, and everybody on this side can certainly attest to the fact that we worked really hard to try to develop a consensus for a better way forward.
You know,
can we turn that into an opera? Basically, that's McConnell crying because there's a couple corporations someplace that are probably going to take him out. No, I'm kidding. But I do enjoy his... I do enjoy when he cries because I think he's sort of as much of a distilled personification of evil as exists in the world. So it's nice to see him cry.
You know what he's crying about. He's crying about his legacy because... There's every reason to believe that when anything that he's done up to this point, it's all going to be defined down based upon failure to get this go.
I've shipped more heroin with my wife's family into this country you could even conceive of, Jew boy. You have to marry talking about my legacy, failed comedian.
The thing is I don't know what they get going now because remember, John McCain is headed back to Arizona after this NDAA.
That's right.
And now here's the other point about why this could still be alive. We don't know what John McCain does. I don't know if John McCain goes back to Arizona and can't make it back for votes and starts missing key votes. I don't know if he resigns. And in which case,
right,
if he resigns,
leave, they could appoint somebody else.
And the person that is going to get appointed out of Arizona, I can guarantee you, will vote for this and any right-wing bill that Mitch McConnell ever contemplates. So,
and you have to also keep in mind that, you know, 2018 is coming up and polling's looking great, but they're going to suppress votes again. I have no reason to not believe that our friends, just to the east of the Ukraine won't try to find some way to get involved again. We need to win in that election. I mean, there's just no two ways about it because remember all these people like Manchin and Heitkamp and whatever are up for re-election in 18. If they end up picking up a number of Senate seats, they'll find their way back to this. You can be sure of it. And they hold the House. So... You know, it's not over in that way either. I mean, they need to be destroyed. And a lot of people sort of sent that out the other day or whatever, but there's really no other way around it. When 49 of these people, even people who claim to be somewhat moderate-ish, you know, like Dean Heller and Rob Portman and Capito and others can vote for this, it just should tell you what you're dealing with here. This party, this is a cult at this point. It's not a party, and they don't seem to understand the implications or care of what they were about to do. I mean, they need to be absolutely destroyed. That's really all that you can do with a virus like that.
I hope the Democrats can walk away with this and sort of understand that the way forward is to continue to maintain some measure of solidarity and allow the Republicans to just to continue to implode. And you know, today we were going to yesterday afternoon, whenever it was that I had emailed you, and I was like, let's talk about the People's Platform and the Better Deal. The People's Platform, incidentally, folks, is essentially it's not a document. It's multiple documents that have been generated by the Our Revolution folks and the Fight for 15 folks and broader groups that to the left of within the left of the Democratic Party, I guess you could say, and they have. On top of the unlike the Better Deal, which outlined some broad proposals in four different areas, they actually have eight bills that they have ready to go, or seven, I guess, that are ready to go, and one that's coming forward that have been introduced, seven of them in the House. And the idea is that the People's Platform, they're trying to get half of the House to basically sign on to this, half of at least the Democratic caucus in the House. So that's something we can talk about next week. It'll still be around. It'll be important. But the good thing is not only are they sort of crashing this stuff, they are at the very least, ranging, and again, sincerity, who cares? Really, it's what they do ultimately. In terms of what they can do at this point, they're beginning to, ranging from the establishment of the Democrats through to the left edges of at least the Democratic Party, they're getting the message. What they do with it, we'll see. But it's the rhetoric. Look, there's a fundamental difference in the rhetoric from where we are today than where we were 15 years ago. And you and I both know
it's
that.
It's
not even close.
It's not even close. I mean, 15 years ago, if he had switched parties at the time, I would tell you that John McCain could have been the Democratic nominee for president in 2004.
Yep.
That's where the Democratic Party was. Joe Lieberman was a potential option. Yep. That's what people have to remember. Because, again, if you get too frustrated and you run over to join the fringe Jill Stein folks, you're not helping things. I mean, you're just not, stay working within a movement that goes from Democrats to independent, to where Bernie is, and the rhetoric is moving to the left. And so is polling on many of these issues. There's a lot of institutional barriers because of the way our country was founded and because of the out of control right wing media that frankly we allowed to happen and many other things we've discussed on this show. And as we undo some of those things, hopefully some gerrymandering we undo coming up with the census and some other things, hopefully this gets even better, frankly, because these positions are popular and should be able to win many of them. But don't get so frustrated that you go somewhere and undermine your own side, because that's just not going to get us anywhere.
All right. Well, we'll talk about
that. That's my two cents.
We appreciate it. In fact, I think that was probably a lot more valuable than two.
Closer to three or four. Push it.
Cliff, we'll talk more about that next week. I appreciate you coming on this week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, my pleasure. We had something good to talk about for once. That's always kind of nice.
I know. Have a good week.
Take care.
All right, bye.
You too. Bye.
Bleep bloop. What's up?
Oh, I was just going to announce that this weekend I will be doing some soul searching and, oh my God.
What?
I will be doing some soul searching and trying to figure out when exactly I went from giving everyone a pass and trying to convince people on this show that they should feel bad for people or something like that to screaming die when I see Mitch McConnell and John McCain on TV. So I don't know if I'm like on the same trajectory as other people. Maybe you could tweet it at me. So
I feel like it's also possible that maybe you went, you're going to go even shoot past that, and soon you're going to be like planting explosives in certain places.
That is what Matt said. What are you talking about? I don't know about explosives, and I don't like that at all.
Well, it's not like you couldn't find out online.
I'd probably explode my own hands, everyone. Give me a break.
Kelly, what did you do this weekend? I did some soul searching, and I also did a lot of searching online for explosive.
Don't say that. I would never hurt people like that.
It doesn't necessarily involve hurting people.
Just screaming starts die with as like a wish.
Just property.
Is
yeah,
different.
Exactly. I mean, there's been a long history.
Oh, just property destruction.
Just start with some offices.
Fine. Yeah.
Why are you guys saying this? Oh, my God.
Just saying that your trajectory is moving rather than a fairly steep curve.
I don't want Mitch McConnell to
die. I know,
die.
But it took 2 years.
I want it to take a while.
All right. You know what? Should we go into the fun half today? Because we're going to be doing a relatively short show. And in the fun half, we're going to be talking a lot about the Scaramouche.
Hey, Sarah, come here for a second. I just want to show you something. No, it's a new dress. It looks fucking nice on you. Come on, it's in the back of the showroom.
I was posting his original first meltdown last night as I'm watching on CNN. So I'm renaming the thing First Meltdown because it was the first meltdown of the one day.
It was actually the second. The first we had yet to know about. Chronologically, the CNN call, now you put in the context
he's
had that conversation with Ryan Lizza the night before. Ryan Lizza's
the
phone.
It's actually all the same meltdown in two parts.
Yeah. You know who I serve at the fucking pleasure of? You know who that is? Who do I serve at the fucking pleasure of?
The president.
The fucking president. You don't serve at the pleasure of nobody.
My favorite.
This show's a fucking joke.
My favorite moment to imagine is when he's sitting there with Ryan Lizza and he's talking about like Steve Bannon. He likes to suck his own dick. And then he goes, we're going to find these leakers. And all of a sudden, it's like that moment in The Sixth Sense where he just like realizes like, oh, my fucking God. I'm the fucking leaker. I'm the leak. Oh, my God.
Oh, my Ron. I've been
leaking
like a fucking
what am I doing?
Save.
I've been embedded in the elites for too long. I didn't realize it.
Ryan Lizza also goes on like this path last night on CNN where he initially he's trying to defend Scaramucci, and then Scaramucci starts like tweeting insults and all this different stuff at him, and then he's trying to like.
Look, Ryan, this is very bad for the American country. I understand that you're a fucking journalist, pussy, whatever. You don't want to tell your sources, but also I would assume that you're a great fucking patriot. So why don't you just ballpark it to me? Does this guy have glasses as an example?
We're talking Italian to Italian.
Is there, a woman that needs to have invasive surgery on any part of a body as an example? Just ballpark it with me.
I got to think that Ryan Lizza is sitting there going, like, when he says, like, Italian to Italian, he's just got to be going, like, I can't believe he just said that to me. All right. Now, folks, before we go to the fun half, we don't have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song this week. I don't know what's going on. Jimmy might be battening down the hatches.
He might be on strike.
Knowing that, Jeff Sessions is getting ready to seeking budgetary power to go after the states in terms of marijuana legalization, decriminalization, etc.
Yeah, nice try. But how about Hillary?
Yesterday, I asked for a for a fun half jingle, and we listener Spiros sent in a jingle. I don't know. We're going to play this all the time, but occasionally as a drop, I like some of this.
Yeah.
All right. So here it is. Let's hear this.
Sam Cedar.
All right, let me just
fun hat.
I don't know. Fun hat.
There you go. Where all those people came from. What?
I think that was some autocorrect on Sam's.
There was some auto-tuning. Yeah.
Not autocorrect.
Auto-tuning.
Serious. Oh, God.
That was so great. I'm just stammering that he picked.
Fun.
Actually, yeah. People should make those all like every day and send those in. We'll play a new one every single day.
Exactly. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Head into the fun half. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Scaramucci. Also, we've got some more sound. This is not over. Mo Brooks is pretty upset. And, oh, we have a UK interview that Anthony Scaramucci did.
Frankly, you're getting on my fucking nerves a little bit there.
And then Dinesh D'Souza takes a question about nationalism and fascism, and it's just as delicious as you could imagine.
God, he's stupid.
This didn't take place inside a prison, did it? Oh, okay. I was just double checking. All right.
Close a college campus.
Quick break. Hey, folks, reminder. Reminder. Really, like it's like it's just so nuts. Folks, your support makes this show possible by becoming a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. You will support this show. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you extra content every single day. JoinTheMajorityReport.com. JoinTheMajorityReport.com. Of course, JustCoffee.coop, Fair Trade Coffee, Tea, or Chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Also, PodcastAwards.com. We have two more days to get nominations in. PodcastAwards.com. Head over there. You'll have to use your email to register. But once you've registered, you'll be able to vote. And so head over there and give us a nomination in Best Politics and People's Choice. Best Politics, People's Choice. Also, if you buy a craft from Amazon or Jet.com, do so through our link at MajorityReportKickback.com. See you in the fun half, 646-257-3920. Be right back.
All the time, she said no.